The American presidency for centuries presented the ultimate expression of American democratic values, where presidents were expected to embody moral leadership, ethical governance, and personal conduct that honored the sacred trust placed in them by voters who believed their leaders would always prioritize national interest over personal advantage. And while presidents have always faced criticism and scandal, the office traditionally demanded careful consideration of how personal associations might impact public duties and national security interests. However, in the last few decades, presidents have inched closer and closer to corrupt friends and finicky financial dealings that have eroded public trust in government, as personal enrichment opportunities and questionable social connections have increasingly influenced presidential decision-making. But nowhere is this more evident than the documented years-long friendships with convicted child predator Jeffrey Epstein, who befriended not one, but two American presidents. Shockingly, Epstein cultivated enduring connections with both Donald Trump and Bill Clinton, gaining access to private aircraft, exclusive parties, family events, and even the White House itself multiple times. Therefore, in today's episode of Old Money Luxury, we expose how Jeffrey Epstein embedded himself within America's highest political circles, while both presidents claim they never suspected the monster hiding in plain sight, as we answer once and for all how well the Trumps and Clintons knew Jeffrey Epstein. Robert Maxwell's 180-foot yacht, Lady Ghislaine, bobbed in New York Harbor on a May evening in 1989, hosting a party that would connect two future presidents to history's most notorious financier. Donald Trump arrived as guest of honor, comparing his own larger yacht, the Trump Princess, purchased from Saudi arms dealer Adnan Khashoggi, to Maxwell's vessel, while caviar flown from Paris circulated among guests, including former Republican Senator John Tower. Among the attendees was Maxwell's youngest daughter, Ghislaine, then in her late 20s, who would become the crucial link between Jeffrey Epstein and America's political elite. "I've known Jeff for 15 years. Terrific guy," Trump would tell New York Magazine in 2002, placing their first meeting around 1987. Yet it was Ghislaine, not Epstein, who provided what one researcher called his path to social acceptance among people way beyond his level. 4 years after that yacht party, as Trump navigated bankruptcy and divorce, a different political dynasty was opening its doors to the same mysterious financier. September 1993 found Jeffrey Epstein inside the Clinton White House, writing a $10,000 check to the White House Historical Association for Oval Office restoration. The donation secured him a photograph with both Bill and Hillary Clinton at a donor reception, social proof that would facilitate 16 more visits over the next 2 years. Mark Middleton, a 31-year-old Arkansas businessman turned presidential aide, signed Epstein into the West Wing 7 times between 1993 and 1995. Visitor logs reveal Epstein brought 8 different women as companions during this period, including Ghislaine Maxwell, Selena Middlefart, Eva Anderson Dubin, and others identified only by first name. Congressional testimony would later implicate Middleton in the Chinagate scandal, with allegations he received $500,000 from Chinese military officer Chao Ying to do good things for China. His vulnerability to influence made him the perfect conduit for Epstein's calculated campaign of access. While Clinton was establishing presidential authority in Washington, Trump was rebuilding his empire in Palm Beach, where both men's paths would soon converge around Epstein. November 1992 footage from NBC's A Closer Look captured Trump and Epstein at Mar-a-Lago, surrounded by Buffalo Bills and Miami Dolphins cheerleader. Trump greeted Epstein saying, "Come on in, go inside," and the two men spent considerable time together watching women dance while engaging in animated conversation, with Trump gesturing toward women and whispering something that caused Epstein to double over with laughter. The same period saw Clinton's White House access procedures breaking down, with Epstein visiting even when the president traveled, suggesting cultivation of staff relationships and intelligence gathering about presidential schedules. By 1993, both political dynasties had opened their doors to Epstein through different vulnerabilities. Trump, through Palm Beach party culture and recent divorce, Clinton through porous White House protocols and fundraising pressures. Neither man yet understood they were dealing with someone who would later plead guilty to soliciting a 14-year-old for illegal activities. Flight logs from April 23, 1993 show Donald Trump boarding Epstein's jet in Teterboro for a trip to Palm Beach. the first of at least seven documented flights that contradicted his later claims of never flying with the financier. 3 days later, they returned together on the same aircraft, establishing a pattern of regular shuttling between New York and Florida that would define their relationship's peak years. That same spring in Washington, Epstein's White House visits intensified, with Mark Middleton continuing to facilitate access that bypassed normal security protocols. May 1994 brought a particularly revealing flight manifest. Trump traveled with Epstein, his new wife Marla, infant daughter Tiffany, and a nanny from Palm Beach to Washington, D.C. The presence of Trump's baby daughter on Epstein's aircraft demonstrated a level of trust that would later seem incomprehensible, given what emerged about the financier's interest. Meanwhile, visitor logs showed Epstein arriving at the White House with companions whose full identities remained obscured. Jennifer Garrison, Shelley Gaffney, Lyubov Lova, young women who appeared once and vanished from records. George Horaney, a Florida businessman, received an unusual request from Trump around this time to organize a calendar girl competition at Mar-a-Lago. "I arranged to have some contestants fly in," Horaney recalled. "At the very first party, I said, 'Who's coming tonight? I have 28 girls coming.'" According to Horaney, Trump's response stunned him. It was him and Epstein. When Horaney protested that this was supposed to be a party with VIPs, Trump allegedly confirmed the guest list of two, dismissing concerns about Epstein's behavior. "I said, 'Look, Donald, I know Jeff really well. I can't have him going after younger girls.'" Horaney remembered warning Trump about his friend's concerning interest. Trump's alleged dismissal was revealing. "Look, I'm putting my name on this. I wouldn't put my name on it and have a scandal." December 1993 marked another convergence when newly discovered photo confirmed Epstein attended Trump's wedding to Marla Maples at the Plaza Hotel. The wedding of the century included celebrity guests like Howard Stern and Robin Leach, with Epstein visible in background photographs, his presence normalized among Manhattan's elite. 2 months earlier, an even more troubling image was captured. Trump, with 12-year-old Ivanka and 9-year-old Eric at the Harley-Davidson Cafe opening, standing directly next to Epstein. British photographer David Jones's image showed Trump's arms around his children while Epstein stood close enough to touch, a proximity that would later horrify those who understood the danger. Clinton's relationship with Epstein remained confined to Washington during this period, with no documented flights until years later. The White House visits continued through 1995, often when Clinton traveled, suggesting Epstein's interest extended beyond the president himself, cultivating broader institutional access. Mark Middleton would leave the administration under an influence-peddling cloud, his facilitation of Epstein's access becoming just one element of a broader pattern of compromised judgment. By 1995, both Trump and Clinton had normalized Epstein's presence, Trump bringing him to family events and private parties, Clinton's staff providing West Wing access without apparent substantive purpose. The financier had successfully embedded himself in two spheres of American power, unaware that a mother in Palm Beach had just filed the first police complaint about her daughter. Victoria's Secret Angels strutted down the runway in 1999 as Donald Trump tapped Jeffrey Epstein's shoulder, both men laughing, while a young Melania Knaus stood nearby. Footage that would later document the apex of their social partnership. The January 5th, 1997 flight manifest tells its own story. Trump flew with Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, Glenn and Eva Dubin, and Mark Epstein from Palm Beach to Newark, a passenger list revealing the interconnected web of wealth and influence Epstein had cultivated. James Patterson's 2016 book would later reveal that although Epstein never formally joined Mar-a-Lago, Trump's friendship with Ghislaine Maxwell gave Epstein unlimited use of the facilities. This arrangement made Epstein a de facto member of Trump's exclusive club, with access privileges extending far beyond normal guest limitations. 4 years after his last White House visit, Epstein reconnected with Bill Clinton through what Clinton Foundation staff described as aircraft substitution. Ronicle's Boeing 757 supposedly became unavailable, leading to Epstein's jet-off. September 2002 saw Clinton board the Boeing 727 named Lolita Express for the first documented flight, beginning what would become 26 legs of travel over 4 trips. Captain Larry Voskey would later testify he flew Clinton more than once, receiving advance notice for special catering requirements that distinguished the former president from other passengers. The Africa trip that month included an entourage mixing humanitarian purpose with celebrity glamour. Actors Kevin Spacey and Chris Tucker joined Clinton for the HIV/AIDS initiative tour. Flight manifests from this period reveal a troubling detail. Five legs list no SS in the Secret Service column, contradicting Clinton spokesman Angel Urania's later claim that agents accompanied every leg of every trip. November 2003 domestic flights repeated this pattern, with manifests showing Clinton traveling without the protection required for former presidents, especially in the post-September 11th security environment. Back in Palm Beach, the February 12th, 2000 photograph at Mar-a-Lago would become the most infamous image linking Trump's circle to Epstein. Donald Trump, Melania Knaus, Jeffrey Epstein, and Ghislaine Maxwell posed together at a charity gala. This Getty Images photograph, taken by Davidoff Studios, captured what appeared to be two couples enjoying high society, none knowing it would document the final phase of Trump and Epstein's public friendship. Clinton made his only acknowledged visit to Epstein's East 71st Street Manhattan townhouse in 2002, accompanied by staff and Secret Service agents, with no overnight stay recorded. The passenger lists from Clinton's flights included future controversy, young women identified only as Tatiana, or by initials, their full names never documented in logs that would later face scrutiny. Doug Band, Clinton's aide who appeared on multiple flights, would years later claim Clinton visited Little St. James Island in January 2003 without an aide, though pilot testimony contradicted this allegation. Both political figures had now logged extensive time in Epstein's company. Trump, through nearly 15 years of social friendship. Clinton, through humanitarian missions that required accepting favors from a man whose wealth source remained mysteriously vague. Both political figures had logged extensive time with Epstein, just as detectives began interviewing students from a local high school about cash payments for massages. Bankruptcy court in Palm Beach became a battlefield in November 2004 when Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein faced off over a 62,000 square foot mansion that would end their 17-year friendship. Epstein's attorney argued Trump should be disqualified from bidding on the Maison de l'Amitié estate, but Trump's voice boomed from the speakerphone as he bid $41.35 million, crushing Epstein's final offer of $38.6 million. Michael Wolff would later reveal Epstein was really, really, really pissed about losing the property, certain Trump was merely fronting for the real owners and threatening to expose the deal. The real estate battle coincided with something darker. Epstein had allegedly made inappropriate advances toward the young daughter of a Mar-a-Lago member, an act that could irreparably harm the Trump brand, according to club sources. Trump's ban of Epstein from Mar-a-Lago followed swiftly, though the formal account closure wouldn't be documented until October 2007, with the notation, account closed, rather than the typical resign. Former Trump aide Sam Nunberg told the New York Times that Trump claimed he had barred Epstein from entering his clubs after Epstein had tried to recruit a woman who worked at Mar-a-Lago. According to Nunberg, Trump said, "I kicked him out of the clubs when this stuff became public, and I made sure NBC knew." Phone message pads from November 2004 showed Trump left two messages for Epstein, apparently the last documented contact between men who had once been inseparable at Palm Beach parties. Bill Clinton's final documented Epstein flight occurred in 2003, ending a period of travel that had included actors, politicians, and young women whose identities remained partially obscured in manifests. The former president maintained he never visited Little St. James Island. A denial pilot, Larry Zosky, would support under oath, "I never flew Clinton to the island." Virginia Giuffre's testimony created contradictions. She denied flying to the island with Clinton in one deposition, but told a Daily Mail reporter she saw him there twice, though she was never involved in any improper activities with him. 2005 brought Epstein's first arrest in Palm Beach, transforming him from mysterious financier to accused offender, though the full scope of his activities remained hidden by a controversial plea deal. Clinton Foundation records showed a 2006 donation of $25,000 from Epstein's COUQ Foundation, money that would later require complicated explanations about when the Clintons learned of his legal troubles. The relationship between Epstein's world and the Clinton family wouldn't end with Bill's flights. It would evolve through Ghislaine Maxwell's friendship with Chelsea Clinton. 2009 found Maxwell, Chelsea Clinton, and Mark Mezvinsky flying together to meet Ted Waite for a Mediterranean yacht vacation, a full year after Epstein's Florida conviction. Maxwell's ability to maintain elite social connections despite her partner's criminal conviction, demonstrated the protective power of wealth and established relationships. Chelsea would later claim she didn't know about Maxwell's alleged activities until 2015, though timelines suggest willful blindness, given Epstein's 2008 guilty plea. While both families scrambled to distance themselves, federal investigators were discovering that Epstein's black book contained contact information for dozens of young women identified only by first names and European phone numbers. Attorney General Pam Bondi released 341 pages of Epstein documents on February 27, 2025, promising to lift the veil on the disgusting actions of Jeffrey Epstein and his co-conspirators. The documents revealed Trump family members scattered throughout Epstein's contacts, Ivana with her address listed, Ivanka as a contact, Robert with a redacted phone number, but no evidence of meetings or travel. Flight logs confirmed what Trump had long denied. At least seven trips on Epstein aircraft between 1993 and 1997, including one with 11-year-old Eric Trump aboard. Bill Clinton appeared on 26 flight legs across the manifests, with those troubling no SS notations that his spokesman could never adequately explain. Neither family emerged unscathed from the document release, though investigators found no evidence that contact book inclusion indicated wrongdoing or involvement in Epstein's activities. July 2025 brought explosive allegations when the Wall Street Journal reported on a supposed 2003 birthday card from Trump to Epstein featuring the outline of a naked woman. Trump's reaction was volcanic, a Truth Social post calling it a fake thing, followed by a $10 billion defamation lawsuit against Rupert Murdoch and the newspaper. The lawsuit created an ironic situation. Trump's legal action could force him to provide detailed testimony about Epstein relationships under oath, something he had avoided for decades. Michael Wolff's 100 hours of Epstein recordings, revealed posthumously, captured the financier calling Trump his closest friend for 10 years, while also being, frankly, afraid of him. Chelsea Clinton's connection to Ghislaine Maxwell reached its scandalous peak at her July 2010 wedding, where Maxwell appeared among 400 guests at Astor Courts. Court documents revealed Maxwell had avoided a deposition in Virginia Giuffre's case by claiming her mother was ill, only to surface at Chelsea's wedding weeks later. The deception directly impacted Giuffre's civil case against Epstein, which settled out of court just 2 weeks before the Clinton wedding celebration. Doug Band's 2020 allegations added another layer, claiming Chelsea socialized with Maxwell to get access to the billionaire's yachts and homes. Hillary Clinton's name appeared only peripherally in discovery requests, with no evidence of meetings with Epstein, despite fabricated claims by discredited accusers. Sarah Ransom admitted in 2019 that she had invented the tapes, allegedly showing Bill Clinton, destroying her credibility and demonstrating how conspiracy theories obscured real victims' stories. Mark Middleton, who had facilitated Epstein's White House access decades earlier, died by suicide in May 2022 in circumstances bizarre enough to fuel new conspiracy theories. The Perry County Sheriff confirmed Middleton shot himself after tying an extension cord around his neck, a death that highlighted the tragic human cost of Epstein's web of corruption. Bradley Edwards, presenting Epstein victims, noted Trump was the only important person who provided helpful information when subpoenaed in 2009. Clinton's 2024 memoir contained his most definitive denial. "I've never visited his island. I wish I had never met him." The final accounting showed both families entangled far deeper than either initially admitted. Trump, through 15 years of social friendship, Clinton through constant White House invites and supposed humanitarian missions that required accepting tainted generosity. And now, we'd like to see you in the comments. Do you believe that one, or both, of these presidents have even more dark secrets around Epstein they're not admitting? We look forward to hearing your thoughts below, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Old Money Luxury. Cheers.